Start up like this, or like this, and hit the start button to flip back and forth. You can make the important things big, keep the small stuff small, and arrange it all around you. You can be all work, all play, or even both at the same time. You can do it all simpler and easier on your Windows tablet, PC, or Surface. That's the new Windows. One experience for everything in your life.
Hi, I'm David Giard. Welcome to another episode of Dev Radio. My guest today is Paul DiCarlo. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing good. Hi, everybody. Paul DiCarlo from Houston, Texas, tech evangelist for Microsoft.
I'm a tech evangelist for Microsoft. What are the odds? How long have you been doing this?
It's about 9 months now that I've been doing this in the South Central area, so I can be found around Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, and Arkansas.
Okay. And people listening may or may not know that part of our job is to help people build applications for Windows 8 and Windows Phone. And you've created something that makes that a little bit easier. Want to talk about that?
Yeah. So I created an app called the X Platform Cloud Kit. It is sometimes shorthandedly referred to as XPCK or XPLAT. And it's essentially a single solution project that uses the concept of portable class libraries, MVVM Cross and Xamarin, to achieve an application in a single build that targets Windows Phone, Windows 8, and Android. Of course, to do the Android portion requires you have Xamarin, the Pro license installed on your machine. But for Windows Phone and Windows 8, those are part of, as long as you have Visual Studio Professional or above, which allows for PCL support, you can dive right into the code and with changes of a few lines actually get yourself a working prototype for pretty much a wide variety of application concepts. The main idea being, I guess for the Cloud Kit portion, the X platform I guess I've described is that it targets multiple platforms. It is a cross-platform project and solution package. However, the cloud part is that all of those projects can consume data from an optional Azure mobile service instance in addition to local file data and
RSS
feeds, RSS sources, yes.
You mentioned a couple of terms here that I want to just define real quickly. Portable class libraries or PCLs, what are those?
So PCLs, I like to think of them as like the intersection of APIs across different platforms. So if you think about all of the API calls we have available on, say, Windows 8 and all of the ones we have on Windows Phone, a PC allows you to go through various, there's actually various profiles you can select from like .NET 4.0 profile, .NET 4.5, Windows Phone 8, Windows Phone 7, and it takes the intersection based on those the lowest common denominator that you want to target and gives you a library that allows you to access the Venn diagram intersection of those particular platforms.
Okay, and then MVVM Cross is what?
MVVM Cross is a really, really cool open source framework built by Stuart Lodge. It's hosted up on GitHub. It says that its main purpose is to allow for data binding in projects that don't normally support it. For example, Xamarin iOS or Xamarin Android projects. We can use the same data binding patterns that we're used to in the .NET world, but it's also a complete MVVM framework and has its own, it has a dependency injection support, wide variety of things. If you think like back to the old days of like MVVM Lite, it's kind of an all-in-one package. Its main purpose though is to enable data binding across platforms that don't typically support it, and it's wild when you use it for the first time if you haven't checked it out.
Okay, that's what you're using it for, mostly for data binding.
Correct.
And then the last one's probably the biggest one, but maybe you can give the elevator pitch. What is Xamarin?
So Xamarin is a tool that is it's a third-party tool that exists as a plugin for Visual Studio, depending on the license you use. So Xamarin does have a standalone IDE, and it also has a business package that allow you to plug into Visual Studio. And what it allows you to do is write code in C# that is respectively iOS and is ran as part of the Mono runtime to target Android projects. So you can write code in C Sharp for Android or iOS. Now, if you combine this with what we were talking about before, the concept of MVVM cross, you can, in PCLs, you can have core logic that lives in that PCL. An MVVM pattern where you're surfacing your logic through your view models, and then the only thing that changes when you want to target multiple platforms is having those platform-specific views. This is, of course, the ideal situation that I'm painting here, but in a perfect world, you could have a solution that has your view models living in a PCL, and so that PCL would then be consumed by any of these projects. And as a result, all you do is change the views, and now you've got your application running across platform. And existing .NET development skills, so you get to utilize C# as the language for Xamarin development.
I like it. So the beauty of your toolkit, and I've actually used it. I've published 6 apps using that toolkit, the XPlat CloudKit, is that you have a lot of that plumbing, the cross-platform stuff, the data binding. You've taken care of that. Paul took care of that for us. You just have to worry about the views and the data.
Correct. Yeah, it basically gives you a template to display data in general, which I thought was a real good way going forward as a template. If you look at a lot of apps in general, aside from games, okay, games are not included in this, but a lot of just apps are about displaying data if you really think about it. And they use common controls. They'll use list views on the phone or the panorama control, and then they'll use grid views on Windows 8. I went with kind of cool style to display that data, and then an easy way to configure where that data comes from. So you have a variety of ways of saying what data you want and how you want it to appear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in my apps, you don't even have to change the views. The views will work right out of the box.
Correct.
I just changed the data that was coming in. Can we take a look at it?
Yeah, we can look at some of the code. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
All right, so you're at github.com right now. What's the full URL, and what are you?
Sure, so I'm at github.com/winappkits/xplatformcloudkit. And this is the project page for XPCK. You'll notice that once you come here, if you scroll down and view the README, we've got a lot of different resources available here, including video tutorials, notes on the prerequisites, like your, you know, what operating system you should be running or what versions of Visual Studio. Also explains a little bit on how to find apps that are built with this toolkit. So you can search the store, which I believe at time of writing there's 700 Windows 8 apps published with this framework.
Wow.
So the first thing you'd want to do if you showed up here is you can go ahead and download the zip file. So I'm just going to right-click this and say Save Target As and save this onto my desktop. Just wait a moment here for that to initiate. And I'm just going to save it as is, X-Platform CloudKit master.zip. And we'll just wait a minute for that.
Paul, do you have any apps built with this toolkit? I keep calling it a toolkit, the CloudKit.
Yes, I do. One that did surprisingly well. I was very shocked that using a app template, how much base and ratings and all that sort of stuff. It actually did pretty well financially as well. I put a trial on the app, a trial purchase mode, and needless to say, it's generated multiple thousands of dollars since being released.
Wow.
So once you have this, the X-Platform CloudKit zip downloaded, I'm going to pull it over here to the right. You can right-click it and go to Properties and select Unblock. It's going to unblock any of the DLLs that are included in the project so that they can execute on your machine. And then what I'm going to do is just pull the folder out here. I'm going to extract it to example. So we'll do extract all. And I'm going to say extract to desktop / dev radio example. So there's a lot of materials that come with this aside from the code. Mm-hmm. Just an FYI, if you open up the master folder and look in the root, you'll see the license terms. Also, there's a store submission document if you need help on submitting to the store. a tool for formatting XML, PowerPoint for a full hands-on lab, and also an explanation of how to use YouTube playlists and RSS feeds. What we're going to do is dive in to the master folder, then X-Platform CloudKit, and there's a solution. We're going to double-click that solution. Now, if you do not have Xamarin installed, I believe the project is hidden, so you shouldn't get a warning on the Android project. So you would need to go and unhide that project. By default, it does not load. For the Windows Phone project, if you don't have the tools installed, the SDK, it will warn you that you don't have the SDK, and it'll proceed to open up only the Windows 8 project. So you can see here I have...
It'll still work though, right?
Yes, it'll still work. The Windows 8 project will work on its own, but it'll just fail to open the Phone 8 project on account of not being able to support it if you don't have the tools installed. Again, you can look at it on the project page for what's required. So you'll see here the way the application is structured. We have three projects. I've got the X-Platform CloudKit PCL, Phone 8, and Win 8 project. And they are kind of what they sound like. The PCL contains the portable class library, the meat of the code, and I was very lucky in this instance that I have my view models living in the PCL. So in the Android project, which does not load by default, you would see a .droid, and you would see that it actually consumes the PCL, and you'd see that it's using those view models. On the Phone 8 and Windows 8 side, you'll notice very similar structures. We've got a view and view model folder. What I'm going to dive into is in the PCL, just kind of showcase a little bit of how this works. You'll notice that it has a target framework here of .NET 4.5, Windows Phone 8, Windows Store apps on Windows 8, and Xamarin Android and Xamarin iOS, meaning that any code that I write in this PCL is guaranteed to execute on those frameworks. So that's really awesome, especially if you can get your view model logic into here. You're really looking at a write once solution and architecture, with the only difference being how I'm going to wire up my views to display that data that's surfacing through the view model. Very, very interesting stuff. In the Windows Phone and Windows 8 projects, they're very similar. They just they define the views, which consume the view models. And there's a little bit of platform-specific code that's implemented in there as well. So what I'm going to do here is show how we can get into configuring. So as you can see here, the PCL is like the one-stop heart of this entire project, and that's where we have our app settings. So I'm going to go to the root of the PCL project and double-click the appsettings.cs file. And you'll see here I've got a variety of things here. The global options, Azure mobile service settings, RSS settings, local file. And the first thing I'm going to do is build this project. I'm currently targeting the Windows Phone 8 emulator. So I'm going to deploy that real quick just to see that my code is building properly before modifying it. So we're going to wait a little bit for that emulator to pop up. That's going to take a minute. So
sure.
If you have any questions here while that's loading up, that'd be a good time.
I'll leave that up once it gets going, rather than shutting it down each time. here it comes.
It'll be a little while. It's got to initialize.
You mentioned earlier that you said that there were 7,000, I think, apps in the App Store built with this?
700 apps.
700 apps. How do you know that number? Where does that come from?
So it's interesting. You can register a protocol in Windows 8 and Windows Phone. So I can actually track these on phone as well. There's an equally high number of about 600 apps. And I'll show exactly how to bring that up here in just a second. As you can see, the data is starting to load in the phone emulator. This is good news. Looks like our code is working. So, but yeah, let me bring that up while that's loading. So down here in the package app manifest, I believe you have to actually open this with editor. I don't believe you can do this in the Apex manifest editor, but you'll see down here this protocol called X-Platform CloudKit. And what that means is that if I type that protocol into the run prompt, so if I do Windows key R and bring up the run prompt and type X-Platform CloudKit colon, I'll then be prompted by how do you want to open this type of link. And I've got apps that support it installed on my machine, but down at the bottom here, it says look for an app in the store. And when I click this, it'll launch up this and actually do a search for all apps built with this template. In fact, today it looks like about, I want to say it was at 7:01 yesterday, so four apps have been published today. Wow. Candy Crush Helper, Texas Hold'em Healthy Food App. You kind of see there's a big variety here that you can build with this template. The Rise, Son of Rome app, BioShock Infinite, Excel tutorials, an Olympic viewer for Sochi games, hairstyle app. I mean, it goes on and on and on. It's a lot of apps, which is really cool. Yeah, glad you brought that up because I think that really highlights the power. But that's how that trick is done. It's similarly done on the Windows Phone side in the manifest over there. So let's look and see if our data loads up appropriately. I'm going to go ahead and swipe over here to the X-Platform CloudKit Phone 8 project we just deployed. And you'll see here we've got a little bit of data. I can all of the groups that it's doing. Currently, without any modifications, it will give you sample data from Azure. It will give you data. It will also give you data from various feeds, including YouTube. And you'll see here, I can go through these sections. Now, what's interesting is the Avengers that you're seeing here are actually coming from an Azure mobile service. And I'll show how that's configured in just a moment. You'll see here I've got data from Facebook. I've got data coming in from Flickr, loading on the fly there as we're scrolling down. Local data, so this is actually coming from a flat file and an HTML example, which is pretty interesting because it shows that we can actually embed HTML into this app for power.
And JavaScript.
Here, there's a JavaScript button. I'm going to click that. It says, hey, what day is it? I'm going to go ahead and click that. And it says, hey, it's Tuesday. So I'm actually executing JavaScript code from within the template. And I'll explain how that mechanism works here. And then you'll see I've got data coming back from Yahoo Pipes in one of these examples. And I've also playlists coming back. So this is pretty interesting. So I've got here a Big Bang Theory episode. And I can click that video. And this will launch the browser and actually allow me to play the video back in the browser. Which is pretty interesting. To really showcase the power here, I'm not going to change anything except the startup project over to Windows 8. We're going to deploy again. And this is the magic. You'll start to see where PCLs, how they're so powerful. Those same view models are serving up data to different views. That's really all that's going on here. There's some complexity in how those views are rendered platform specifically, but the power is that I'm surfacing that data from one place, the PCL. Really, really cool stuff. And so this is going to go ahead and deploy. And we'll just wait a moment for that data to load in here.
So you've got data coming from Azure Mobile Services. You've got data coming from, you mentioned Flickr, Yahoo, Pipes, and YouTube. I think those are all just RSS feeds.
Correct.
That you're bringing in, and then also some local files as well.
Correct. And so you can see here I've got that same data. I can actually pull out in the semantic zoom. So, which is really interesting because, like, if you look at the grid view control and the list view control, or the, we're actually using it's a special control in Windows Phone 8, the jump list. And so you can actually organize data in groups. And so the way that I have that data stored in a collection in the view model allows me to group it in both applications. So I can jump in here to, say, our YouTube playlist. And again, this up one of these videos like we had previously. And this will actually pop up in a rendered view here, just waiting for that to load up here. I don't know, might be on a slow connection here. There we go. Boom. Usually faster than that.
Well, you are sharing your screen across the internet with us, so
that's possible. Oh, that is that. And you can minimize it. Like, you can minimize the data that's coming back. I can slide it from left to right. going through the separate sections. And it all really depends on how you want to store data. So like you can see here, I could full screen that data, maybe put some JavaScript in there to calculate some ability they might have. And I can slide in new characters here. So I'm sliding Cyclops in, sliding Gambit in. So a lot of different ideas you could get from this. Like if you wanted to maybe have recipes or something, you could write up the recipes, have a picture of the food, serve it up in the app. Flickr, you'll notice here that it actually, we have all this different data. That's, I'm not sure what language that's in currently, but you'll notice it renders. Click on it. I can hit the full screen button. So there's some powerful scenarios you can leverage there as well. Again, it all comes down to creativity at this point. And going back maybe to what we showed a few minutes ago on how to surface apps that use this framework, you might be able to get a lot of really good ideas.
By the way, that language was the universal internet language of cats.
So I'm going to first, we're going to go into the app settings and we're going to nuke everything but the Azure mobile service stuff. So you'll see I've got my global options, and the first thing I'm going to do is change this to dev radio example. I've got a cache interval on the data of 60 minutes. I can change that if I like. So that means that, you know, the first time you load the app, if you've got a lot of sources, it may take a while to load. It may, you know, take 20, 30 seconds. You might not want the user to have to wait that long on each successive launch of the app. So this will store that data for the amount of time you indicate. Over here in Azure Mobile Service settings, I'm going to keep that set to true. And I have a value here for create initial schema. I'm going to set that to false because I've already auto-generated my schema.
Let's just back up on one second, Paul. If I set that enable Azure Mobile Services to false, it basically makes irrelevant everything else in this section, correct?
Correct. And yeah, we're going to see a pattern of that as I open up the rest of the section.
So it's a quick way to turn off entire sets of features just with a single line of code.
So you'll see here I've got the mobile service address, which I've got one registered at xplatformcloudkit.azuremobile.net, and I've got my mobile service application key. I'm okay with you guys knowing that. That's completely okay with me. This create initial schema, you'll want to refer to the PowerPoint in the root of the project for what that does. It actually sets up an auto-generated schema based on a class type of item that we have in the project. So you can store things of type item in that Azure Mobile Service or object type item, and then you can pull those down into your app. So we'll see that in just a second. The RSS service settings, just all of these, you'll notice they start with a enable whatever the service is. So I've got enable RSS service. I'm going to set that to false. That will turn off all of our RSS feeds. And you'll see down here we've got an RSS max items per feed. If you want to limit a maximum of 10, then we can turn that on. Negative value gets you the maximum, so however many are returned. I've got some example feeds here. So YouTube playlist example, Flickr example, Pipes example, YouTube query and author, Bing, Amazon, etc. And you can just comment those out. Self-explanatory on how they work. I would recommend that if you are going to use any of these, to pay very attention to the structure that is expected and to look up the developer documentation for those particular APIs, as there may be some quirks or features available in them that I'm not using in this particular examples. Down here, we'll see.
I found those samples enormously helpful. I could use those, copy and paste, and just sometimes it's just a matter of replacing a GUID.
Yeah,
that's not always obvious from documentation. I also tell you that I'm usually not a big fan of regions and comments in my code, but in this case, I think it helps a lot because there's so much. It's almost like a wizard. It walks you through what each section means.
You know, I completely agree. And one of the things that wound up where I had to do this, I'm not sure if this is supported now, but I wrote this back in October, so when I started, was how to actually implement settings that could be consumed across applications. So my solution here was to do a singleton class that I could just instantiate and then have consumed throughout the apps. So I could get things like the application title, platform specific. Normally you would do these things through like a resource file, but at the time I was not able to consume res Android project. So it worked perfect in the Windows Phone and Windows 8, but it didn't work in the Android project. So I kind of adopted this approach. But interesting that you would bring that up. There's also a little hidden one down here that says remote RSS source URL. If you want, you can put remote RSS sources like up on a server. There's an example here, this RoboDance example. This was actually a community contribution here. Very awesome. I believe this was put in by Robert Oschler, really awesome guy. And this lets you pull down feeds that are hosted remotely. So say you don't want your feeds into the app, you want it to check some other source and then pull them down, you can do that as well.
Okay, so if you want to dynamically add new RSS feeds, they could
absolutely,
all
without submitting an update to the store. Very powerful. So here's the local items file service. I'm going to go ahead and collapse that, the RSS service. And you'll notice that we also have here a remote item file service. And this was coded in by Alec Crow from University of Arkansas, Little Rock. Really awesome developer out there. Guy's still in college. I recommend you check his work on GitHub. He's going to have any problems finding a job. Guy's awesome developer. So he added that in. And then you'll see some platform-specific options. For example, groups to display in full screen, whether to use the light theme on Windows 8. You can very easily, with the flip of a bit, enable using an image background. Set your privacy policy link. And then on the Windows Phone side, we allow for implementing the trial mode. And just to go into a little bit of specifics, you can do trial mode in Windows 8, but it's actually integrated in the store submission process, whereas on Windows Phone, you have to implement it in code. So you'll notice that there are specific options here. And then there's a phone number parsing option. So if you have a phone number in your item's description, it will find those phone numbers and highlight them for you to make a phone call. This also works Windows 8, but it works by default. We didn't have to code in a special mechanism for it, so you can actually bring up Skype and call phone numbers embedded in apps. Pretty awesome.
Very cool.
Got some YouTube options here. I'm not going to go into too many details with those. You can control the color of the font in the web view for both Windows 8 and Windows Phone. So say you want your text to be a different color, you can change the font color here using a hex value. Again, if you go through the comments, it explains this in more details. And two recent additions, we have App Promo is now supported, which is a control created by Jared Benz. By default, if your app is ran 7 times, it will pop up a reminder on both Windows 8 and Windows Phone that will ask the user to rate your application. Very, very cool feature to just baked in, turned on automatically by default. And we've got advertising controls. So if you are using the Microsoft Pub Center as your ad provider, you simply need to create an ad of the appropriate size, 480 by 80 on Windows Phone, and I believe we 728 by 90 on Windows 8, and simply paste in your the ID, the application ID and the ad unit ID, and you are off making ad revenue in your XPCK app. So what we're going to do first here is I'm going to relaunch the app with enable mobile services set to true, local items file set to false, and RSS set to false. Just going to double check that that's been turned off. So I'm going to go ahead and relaunch. So we're only going to get data back from Azure.
Okay. And you have Azure, you got superheroes in Azure, right? Marvel heroes?
Correct. So we should just see Avengers and X-Men, I believe, should come back from that. And the Azure Mobile Service data, if you see me, Azure Mobile Services enabled. And so you'll see here, I no longer have those other data sources. It's only getting the Azure content. And what's really cool is how this maps to my actual mobile service. So I'm going to bring that up. I'm actually logged into my Azure account here. And I'm going to click on Mobile Services. And this is coming from a mobile service called X Platform Cloud Kit. So I'm going to go ahead and click that. And if you click here into the data, and by the way, I entered this data using the online database editor, which I'm not going to segue into that. That's all covered in the PowerPoint for how to do this. But you'll see that data is actually right here. This is where it's coming from. You'll see I have a schema set up that maps to the item class, which has properties of ID, title, subtitle, description, image, and group. And you'll see that based on the group that they have, determines the group that they were organized in the application. So you have the X-Men Azure group and the Avengers Azure group. And you'll see here the title, subtitle, and description. What's interesting is that the description field is rendered as HTML. So when I launch the application, if you see here in the Azure Mobile Service data example, it says to disable Azure Mobile, enable Azure Mobile Service to false. And by the way, I'm HTML, click me and I'll take you to Bing. And it's not joking if I click, take me to Bing. Meaning that we have a lot of power that we can do there. That description field, again, anything you put there can be rendered as HTML. And so that's one of the ways we actually make the content that comes back from YouTube look pretty. We actually intercept the response that comes back from YouTube, and we then bend that into a aesthetic HTML presentation. So you'll see here the way that this content coming back from YouTube looks on the Windows Phone. It's because it's returning HTML that we then modify and creates a more aesthetic display for the Windows Phone. So very interesting how that works. So what I'm going to do now, keeping with our demo, is go over to the RSS service and set that to true. Except this time, Dave, maybe you can help me here. Do we have a link to a Dev Radio RSS feed by chance?
Yes, I do. There's one right here I just sent to you.
Oh, awesome. Great. Let me go ahead and paste that in. Let's see. I'm going to create a new RSS source and set the URL to that value. And then what I'm going to do, oops, a little bit of a typo there. And what I'm going to do is then set that to a group and call that Dev Radio. That's going to be a string, Dev Radio RSS. Okay, so I've got a group for it, and what I'll then do, I need to set that to group equals, sorry about that. And what I'll do is just comment the rest of these out. So that's going to be the only feed that I have. Again, if you want to modify some of these existing feeds, you can go ahead and do that. So I'm going to relaunch this. And I'm pulling your data down. You can see that here. If we want, like you notice that low-res images are coming in here. If you want to do a deep dive, you can head into my RSS parser, which is located in the PCL. That's over here in Data Services, RSS Service. So anything you want to do here to like modify where it's actually pulling the image from and stuff like that, you can do that there. And we'll go ahead and launch this back up and then click into the item. And you'll see here it actually is detecting that you have audio here, so it has an audio playback button here at the top, and rendering that RSS feed. And you'll notice that it's serving back, it is actually serving back HTML, and that HTML is rendered appropriately. And so I can click over here to the next item, and you'll notice that next item loads up. That's very easy. I didn't do anything except change that. So aside from maybe in some links to higher res graphics in that instance, we're already up and running with a nice prototype. Real quick, what I'm going to show here is how to use the local items file service. So I'm going to go ahead and enable that too. And what I can do is open up, you'll notice in the root of every project, it's a linked file. So it's in one place on disk. It's actually in the Windows 8 project, but we can open it from any project. This local items file.xml. So I'm going to say open with, and I'm going to open it with XML text editor. And you'll see here I have this XML that's kind of giving me some example data here. And what I want to do is take out everything here. I'm just going to take out these items here. You'll notice I've got some a C data block here that is rendering some HTML, and I'm left with item, and what I'm going to do is just change this to say dev radio info. So say you have some static data, I can make like an about using the C data. So real quick, just say like, dev radio, whoops. There we go. Just didn't get all that. Say something like dev radio is awesome. And I'm going to use the same image, but you'll notice I'm essentially hot linking to a image here. So if you have an image that you have hosted on a blog or a CDN or something, you could use that. Just for the time being, I'm just going to go ahead and redeploy here. First things first, though, make sure the local items file service is set to true. And so we'll go ahead and redeploy.
That's very cool. I think to my apps, maybe I would add a link back to my homepage.
You'll see here it says local data. That's the group. Maybe I should have changed the group name. But I click Dev Radio, and it says Dev Radio is awesome. So very easy to surface local data. And then, of course, you know, for aesthetics, last thing I'd want to do is probably turn on a graph. You know, we maybe want to use a graphical background. If we want, we can even change the entire theme. So I can set this to use light theme to false. What this will do is, as you might expect, we'll use the dark theme. So when I relaunch the application, you'll notice now I have a dark background as opposed to before where we had like a white background, and our text is now light. So I can change the theme very easily. And then if I wanted to then enable a background, set enable when a background to true. And upon doing that, it actually gets this from the assets folder. There's a file called wallpaper.png. Mm-hmm. And you'll be warned when you enable it not to be using the default one, and you'll see why in just a second here. So all I did was turn that on to true. And boom, a graphic in the background. You'll notice it's a very ugly yellow. You'll also notice that a link popped up there saying the app for a while. Would you like to rate it? That was the app promo activating on the seventh launch of the app. And you'll see here it's trying to tell you, edit this image. I am located at X Platform Cloud Kit when a asset slash wallpaper. It very ugly on purpose so that you would not use the default graphic without for sure knowing that you were using it.
I've set that in my apps as well, the wallpaper. It's very nice feature. It makes it look a lot better.
It's like the apps in the store that do that. You know, we were looking at some of the XPLAT apps. The ones that do that are just leaps and bounds above in terms of quality. So, like, you know, we're looking here at the food app, I believe, is an example of that. You'll notice they have this cool produce in the background of their app.
Yeah.
The Texas one also kind of gives you this, like, cool feel here, like, oh, that's awesome. You know, it's got like the chips stacked up there. So it gives you a different feel. Yeah.
And there's all kinds of Creative Commons and free images that you can find on the internet.
And so the only thing you're really left with here on both applications is to go ahead and create your assets. So, you know, we need our image icon and that sort of thing. Just a quick note to let you guys know, some of the cool features this has, like we have lock screen support. So if I click here, I can set the lock screen to that image, the image of Sheldon dressed up like a zombie.
Who wouldn't want that?
Click no on it. So having that feature installed actually makes apps built with this eligible for rewards on develop.com. So if you guys have looked at App Builder Rewards or Develop.
That's DVLUP.com.
Correct. Yeah, Nokia has that. You can get Windows phones from it. In fact, before I was employed by Microsoft, it was awesome because I used to build apps. And I got myself a free phone, a backpack, and a T-shirt from them. It was really cool.
Oh, are we no longer eligible?
That's a good question. That one I'd have to find out offline. It's really interesting. So it's fully supported. You eligible for points. The only real things you need to do is just change the icons. And just to make aware, the app supports live tile notifications. So when you select an item, the last item selected will actually be updated on the live tile. This works on Windows 8. So if I click here, Captain America, and this is really awesome too. This was added by the community. If you click on the image, it actually loads up large. I forgot about that. It's pretty cool. If I back out of here, the tile will eventually flip and should show a picture of Captain America. There's all these awesome features built into it. There it goes, right there, Captain America.
Very cool.
And you'll see here, if I get onto the modern screen, you'll see here that it's located or updated with Dev Radio and the About. And then,
excellent.
So we're, you know, we've gone from file new to prototype insanely fast here, with data coming from a variety of sources. And I think it's really cool. I love seeing what people build with this thing. I love seeing some of the creative apps that people have built. One of my favorites is the World War II guide was one that was built by a professor here in town, here at the University of Houston. Hmm. Very complete, gives you maps, videos, all sorts of stuff. Really, really awesome. And I just can't wait to see what people who might be watching this video today, what they come up with. And and that said, if you do come up with anything, I'd love for you to email me your creations at pdcarlo, not a J, pdcarlo, at microsoft.com.
All right, Paul, we are just about out of time. We'll get some links to some of the cool apps in this Dev Radio so people can look them up. And do you have a blog that you can point people to?
My blog is located at pjdcarlo.com. That's where you can find all the latest things I'm usually working on, lots of articles about XFLAT. And right. I love when people send me questions. Those usually turn into blog posts. If you have questions on the toolkit, again, send those my way to pdcarlo@microsoft.com. It will probably turn into a blog post.
Excellent, Paul. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Dave.
Have a great day.